Okay. So we're holding by Nesiv HaTshuva, Maimer Beis Os Gimel. The Pesher Divrei HaRambam, this is the explanation of the Rambam, Begodol Erko Shel HaTshuva, that he elaborates upon the great value of Tshuva. Gedoyla Tshuva, Shemekreves Otom Shechina, that the Tshuva is so great that it creates a closeness, that a person develops this closeness with the Shechina. Shneamar Tshuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Lekecha. Hainu, Shatshuva hi Ad Hashem Lekecha. The Tshuva gets a person so close, he's Ad Hashem Lekecha. Kolemer im taxer biti dabek. And if a person does Tshuva, he will create this dvekus with Hashem. Ki hine, anoshim zarim ki po riv beinam. That because two random dudes, when they fight, chas v'shalom, when a fight breaks out between them, gam kashem is spicing, even when they appease each other, they make a peace treaty. But since at the end of the day one of them was wounded by the other, that after they were so distant and they were so despicable in each other's eyes and they hated each other to such a degree, it's impossible. It's impossible to reach the level of dveikus in this ava. It's impossible. Because at the end of the day, the dvekas that they had with each other, that relationship they had, was happenstance. It just happened to be that way. It wasn't something that was natural. It wasn't something inherent in who they are. Which is not the case at all when you talk about Klal Yisrael's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we do tshuva, if we appease HaKadosh Baruch, if we get over the fight, right, then we will actually create that devekus. Emesh is a sonny, like the Rambam says, Meshukot Merachi Meruchok V'toyeva. Yesterday we were hated, we were despicable, disgusting in the eyes of Hashem, we were distant. Vayoyim hu ahu v'nechmad. Why? Says in the Sivishalom, a beautiful Yisoyed. Because when it comes to Klal Yisrael, relationship with Hashem, it's not something that just happened to be that way. But the natural disposition, the natural tendencies, and the natural place of Klal Yisrael is to have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we mess up, we create that distance, but at the end of the day, if we can fix that, then the relationship goes back to its original status. I think, although you can discuss this at length, but when you discuss a relationship between two siblings, okay, the natural tendency between two siblings that grew up in the same house, let's say they're close in age even, so it's not just the mikra that they happen to have a relationship. Right, they have the same background, they have the same genes. There's a certain reality that creates that relationship. Now, they could get in a fight, they get a lot of fights. They could really get upset with each other. But normally, when they make up the relationship between two brothers and sisters, usually they're able to return to that natural place that they have a very strong and close relationship. As opposed to two friends, that even if they've been friends for a very, very long time, right, they grew up as neighbors, and they went to the same schools, and they were very, very close for many, 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 many years, right, once they chas v'shalom get in that fight, and it's not just a little, you know, they're not arguing about, you know, who won the Super Bowl, but they're arguing, or who's going to win the Super Bowl, but they get in a real fight about something betachlis, something that's serious. So it's much more difficult to go back to the relationship and have the relationship the same way it used to be. Mashmos inyon avinoseichem avdilin beinechem bevein elokeichem. So now he has a big insight here. Big insight. Let's discuss this. The Rambam lays out for us that when we do averus, it creates a richuk. It creates a distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? You know, what does it mean to mess up and create a reality that we're sonui mishukats in a toyeva, we're meruchak from Hashem? Shehudi asher enu davak ba Hashem humale mechitzos umaseichim. That a Jew that is not connected to Hashem, he's full of mechitzos, he's full of separations, walls that are dividing him, umasachim and masks that are hiding him from Hashem. In other words, we create a certain, it's not only a distance, but we're creating a physical impediment between that relationship, that prevents the relationship. He's going to explain further. Teirasoi mechitzois, einoi chai b'teirasoi, v'einu dovek b'teirasoi. If somebody has a wall around the Torah, somebody has a psychological barrier that's preventing him from learning Torah, right? Then what happens? He's not living with Torah. He doesn't feel connected to Torah. Kol inyanim sheloi meid, even if he actually learns, ain moichai v'liboi koltim and enemies. He's not enjoying it. He's not intellectually enjoying it. He's not emotionally enjoying it. That's something that has no taste, it has no enjoyment, it has no pleasure, it doesn't taste the sweetness of Torah. I had a friend that when I was, we were younger, so when he was Shana Aleph, he decided to, well, I should tell you this, the summer before Shana Aleph, he decided to flip out. It was an active intellectual decision that he was going to flip out because he decided that he wanted to be super, super stark. And he pushed himself to a crazy, crazy degree during that first year of Yeshiva. He wasn't sleeping very much every night. He was waking up early. And he pushed himself and pushed himself and pushed himself. Now, the problem wasn't that he was, you know, learning a lot. The problem is that he wasn't at the level to do that yet. He wasn't enjoying what he was doing. He didn't feel that it was, he intellectually thought, this is what I should be doing, and therefore he did it without actually, you know, being at the place where that was the right thing for him. He wasn't happy with what he was doing, but he felt he needed to. It was all machmas, an old, it was a yoke that he felt, you know, he kept on pushing. Unfortunately, so after Pesach, he went back to his parents for Pesach. He came back after Pesach, and 2 weeks into his man, he jumped right back in. The same zeal, the same, you know, schedule he was having. And I'm telling you, if I remember correctly, he was going to sleep somewhere close to 2 and waking up somewhere close to 6. You know, very, very little sleep, and Shabbos maybe got an extra hour, but like it wasn't healthy. And unfortunately, 2 weeks after Pesach, he overdid it. And he had to be hospitalized for serious issues. I don't remember exactly what the diagnosis was, but it created, you know, we could call it burnout, but because it was overheated, and it was very bad. Very bad. He was in the hospital for about 3 days, 4 days, and then he had to go back to the States. He had to go, you know. The psychological effects that occurred because of this, long term, I'm talking now 6, 7, 8 years later, after he got over it, and he was able to, you know, he went through therapy, and he got, Baruch Hashem, he was back, you know, healthy. For years, anytime he would open a Gemara, he would start to shiver. Every single time, we open a Gemara, we'd start to shiver. And eventually, with help from his therapists and everything else, he was able, you know, to learn, and he learns every day. Daf Yomi is very serious about his Daf Yomi. It takes it very seriously. But he says, every time he opens up a Gemara, he feels a certain, like, jitter in his body. Like, it's like not normal. So that's something he had a mechitza. There was something that prevented him mehatchala, from the beginning, from the onset. There was that mechitza that was there, and he ignored it. He ignored it, and he threw himself so far in that he overheated, he burnt out, and it created major long-term negative psychological, you know, problems for this guy. And believe me, this is, I mean, you could talk to him straight, and he would love to be the biggest master in the world. He believes that that's emes. He believes that we should be doing v'chule v'chule v'chule. But he unfortunately had a very bad experience. So what the Slonim Rebbe is telling you is that when a person has these mechitzos in place, right, when a person has that negative psychological approach, this boy that I'm talking about, after everything occurred, right, unfortunately it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to taste the sweetness and the beauty of Torah. Right? So the same thing about tefillah. Tefillah say mechitzos im ikar hakavana shebetefillah shekosav apoiskim. The main kavan of davening, that without it you're not yeitzi, is to have kavana that you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you're spilling out your heart like water in front of Hashem. Reb Chaim Paskins, that without that kavana you're not yeitzi Shmoneh Esrei. That's the kavana that you have to have from the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei until the end of Shmoneh Esrei. When a person is distant, when a person unfortunately does aveiros and he creates that distance, he doesn't feel it's very difficult to recognize that you're davening standing in front of Hashem. And memela, if you're davening without that realization, without that kavana, so you don't enjoy what you're doing. You don't enjoy what you're doing. You don't feel what you're doing. You don't emotionally connect with what you're doing. You're not inspired to do what you're doing. V'chein kol kiyam ha-mitzvah etzloi heim imechitzos ben ha-gufa ben ha-nesham. It says every single mitzvah that a person does, right, every single mitzvah that he does, if he has that mechitza in place, then it makes a distinct separation between the body and the nesham. And therefore, he's not able to appreciate, he's not able to enjoy, he's not able to get a geschmack out of the mitzvahs. Bein b'toyre, bein b'tfila, bein b'lulav and esrog, and shivas ha-sukkah, and tainuk and Shabbos, and the Nesiv Shalom talks about it in Chelet Beis at length. He says, you can have your same, chicken and fish and everything on Shabbos, and on one hand, it's going to be a tainug that you're enjoying Shabbos. You're eating it and you're enjoying Shabbos. On the other hand, you're eating it and you're enjoying your stomach. And the mechitzas that a person creates, like days of Eris, which prevents him from appreciating what he's doing, he can be getting the same geschmack from the food, but it's not. He's not going to associate it. He's not going to realize. He's not going to recognize that that's really tainug and Shabbos. Really, that's just appreciating his own taivus.
Kind of like the difference, I guess.
What?
Realize what's what. Yes.
Yeah. But the aveiros do is they create the psychological and spiritual distance. They create these mechitzas that prevent a person from being able to appreciate it, from being able to make that connection. So Zuk, based on the Rambam, G'day l'tshuva sh'merkavaz adon shechina, v'az kol mechitzas naiflin. So tshuva is a process of removing those mechitzas. And then a world that's full of light opens up in front. Then he's able to see in creation. This goes back to an idea that the Rambam writes about, right, at the beginning of the Rambam, that through nature, you're able to, the person that appreciates nature to the ultimate sense is able to recognize and realize that there's Baruch Hu in nature. He's able to see all of the natural phenomena that occur and use that as a means and a mechanism to amuna. Or like the Ramban says, that a person takes the end of Parshas Bo, that the Nisim Niglim can be Megala, that the Nisim Nistarim, that open revealed miracles help us recognize that even those miracles that we don't believe are miracles, like the sun rising in the morning and the moon setting in the afternoon, is also B'yad Hashem. Right? So a person that's Roya, the person is Roy B'chol HaBriya, he recognizes in all of creation Hashem. Shine oir yoyse mekurav ahu v'nechman mikmoy shahaya koid machit. So then he's able to become, he's able to reach a level that he's connected to Hashem like he never sinned. He's able to remove those mechitzas in a way that he never sinned. They're explaining if a person sinned, double sinned, and he gets a double punishment. He gets a double necham. What does that mean? So biur loshen chito b'kflaim. What does it mean that it was a dual double sin? If a person sinned a lot, well, no fail al zeh loshen kiflaim. Doesn't he? You don't use the word kiflaim, kefel, if he did a lot of sins. So what does it mean that he was chit o kiflaim? What does it mean that he's going to get a double punishment for one sin? He's going to get two punishments. That's not fair. So what does this all mean? So Rebbe, the Alter Slonim Rebbe explained, Elish ki ben ha-melech shecheit. He says the pshat's like this in Chazal. What does it mean? A person sins a double sin, he gets a double punishment. He gets a double nechama. It means like this. A ben ha-melech, a prince that sins, kois lo ha-melech yose mi'ilu hoya oise ish acher cheitzeh. When the prince sins, then the king gets even more upset than if a random guy sins, right? If a random guy in the street, I mean, you see this all the time. If a random guy in the street, think in America, a random guy in the street evades taxes, okay, did a bad thing, right? If a guy who's running for office evades taxes, then it's all of a sudden, it's possible a gamrei, right? If the ben melech doesn't listen to the rules of the melech, he doesn't abide by the laws, so the melech will be much more upset with him than if a random John Doe doesn't do the same thing. The actions are the same, but the melech will be much more upset with his own son. Therefore, v'ayinishemekabel ben ha-melech koev lo yoser milukib lo ishacher. So the punishment's going to be the same way. The punishment that the prince is going to receive is going to be in proportion not to the sin that he did, but it's going to be in proportion to the fact that it was a ben melech who did the sin. The kach gam kishim is charet achar kach v'shov el aviv ha'iskarbo sikfulo mechupelos masher ishzar. He says, so too, when he goes back and he does the tshuva, so if the random John Doe did the, he evaded the taxes, he paid back, right? Okay, becomes a normal citizen again. He's a random guy in the street. If the prince did the same avera, did the same, broke the law the same way, and he got the punishment, not kefi his maisa, but kefi the maisa with who he is, based on who he is, then memela, when he does tshuva, so the relationship that he develops with the melech, it goes back to the level that it was much closer than a random Joe. V'zeu ikar gadlus inyan tshuva etzel Yehudi. Says the son of a Rebbe, that's exactly the main idea, the greatness of tshuva by a Jew. Bechines nechemta bekifayim, that it's a double nechama. In other words, it's not only the nechama that he took care of the mechitza no longer exists. It's not only the nechama that he took care of the aver, he fixed this problem. But since he started out with that ultimate dveikus for the Shem, by fixing the problem, he took care of the problem and he reawakened and reconnected to Hashem in a much deeper way than like he had originally. So memeila, the nechama is a double nechama. A random guy he never had a relationship with, you never had, somebody chas v'shalom, you have a car parked and he hits the car. Right? He's a nice guy, he does tshuva, he comes and he pays you for it. You never knew the guy before, you never know the guy again. It's over, right? It happened, it's a one-time incident. Masha Enkein, if your friend is the one who bumps into your car, so it creates like a much greater, there's not only the fact that the car is damaged, the relationship between you and your friend is on a different level. You're like, there's an uncomfortableness around each other. And when your friend comes and pays back for the damage you did to your car, not only is he fixing the car, but he's also fixing the relationship. Because there was a relationship, and now you're going back to that relationship. So memela, it's a double nechama.
And it will be the same?
But the car, I think, will be the same.
Right.
The car, I think, will be the same. If it punches you in the face, it probably won't be the same.
Right.
But he says even more than that. That he scavs by Vegas gedoyle kiflam mikimosha haya koydim achei. It's even big. This is a big. We don't have time to get into this right now, but it could even be that because of the sin, that is a stepping stone to make that relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu even greater. Not that you're supposed to do that. But if somebody does the Avera and they do the tshuva on the Avera, then the relationship that they develop because of that, the relationship that's developed because of that is even greater than it was originally. That's a big insight. But this goes back to the whole idea that we discussed, that tshuva isn't, we're not looking at, you know, a person broke the car, you know, he knocked into the car, did damage, pay back for the car. A person, you know, punches him in the face, he's got to do tshuva, he's got to rectify what he did. It's much more than that. The ikra of the tshuva is the fact that you're redoing and creating that relationship that existed. Memela, in order to do that, you have to do X, Y, and Z. That's all important. The mice and mitzvahs are all important, they're all necessary. But what's the focus? The focus is that relationship. The focus is the fact that I used to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I distanced myself. And now I'm recreating that ultimate hiskarvus, that ultimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? If you approach the Yamin HaRayim with that perspective, right, the vidui in the Yamin HaRayim no longer becomes the ikr, but what becomes the ikr? The relationship that you have with Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have to do the vidui also. But the vidui is in order to say, I did something wrong, I created a mechitza, and it's affecting my relationship. And I want that relationship. Stay there?
Yeah.
I have time.
Thank you, Rabbi.
My pleasure.